Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 33, Moonfall. In a time of destruction, create something.
A freak lightning bolt hit Canyon Ridge Bridge last night, sending off a chain reaction of mines that resulted in the bridge's destruction, an NCA spokesman has confirmed with me.
Mr. New Haggis was saying over the radio.
The NCA spokesman was clear, though. They were still committed to removing the Minotaur menace, but would have to find alternative routes across the canyon. Meanwhile, an unconfirmed NCA insider who wants to stay anonymous claims the NCA is looking at the recent Enclave Remnant split and trying to get one of them to help them across with promises of helping them in their fight. According to this insider, the NCA is not picky on which side they choose.
The radio was lying, obviously. The NCA knew it wasn't lightning, but it was easier to explain than what actually happened. We managed to find some ruins to hunker down in during the night that kept us mostly warm. We saw a few NCA patrols at a distance, but none came close to us. By morning, the harsh storm had passed and turned into a light drizzle and a cold gray day. That day stayed with us as we walked back towards the city. I managed to find and save one of the Megaspell ponies, but I wanted to save them all, and to do that I needed to find out who all was turned into one. The only way I could figure out how to do that was to bust down the Watcher's front door.
Revolutionaries clashed against the Mustangs again last night, turning the northern half of Dais into a bloodbath. We reached out to the Watchers and Mustangs for comments. The Mustangs refused to comment, and the Watchers had this to say.
The radio clicked, and Clean Cut's voice fed over the radio.
The Watchers have always stood for peace and order, and while we have never been fans of the chaotic system of governance Dais has to offer, we by no means condone these clashes. We understand some think that we are the leaders of the revolution, but we are simply healing and providing help to the injured. To be honest, I am not sure what to tell you. Everyone at the Watchers are praying for an end to the violence.
Mr. New Haggis' voice came over the radio again.
Revolutionaries who claim to be headed by a pony only known as Mr. X have refused all communication, stating only that every pony with eyes and ears can understand the demands. The riots were sparked during a funeral for local hero Pinprick, and since then, Mr. House's Black Salamander Casino was mobbed and his employees forced to regroup outside the city, with some claiming Mr. House died in the fighting. Molly of the Basies was apparently captured by the revolutionaries, but her casino so far has refused to back down. The Mustangs have clashed the most openly with the rioters and has faced mass defections. Revolutionaries claim the casino is on its last legs. Meanwhile, the remaining Enclave Remnants and the Galician Ponitrons have remained out of the fighting. Both groups claim they support the revolutionary goals, though various revolutionaries reveal they are on the list of groups the revolutionaries wish to be disbanded or forced out. The revolution has a list of grievances, most stemming from what they say is a systematic failure to provide adequate food and medical supplies following the balefire explosion over the city. It is a dark time for Dais, many claiming the darkest since the apocalypse. I, for one, do not wish to be alive to see the destruction of our great city. But I love you folks out there, and if this ship goes down, I'll be here every day to keep you informed. Stay safe out there, lovelies, and let your worries be carried away by song.
Music started to play over the radio, but my worries were not soothed. We were heading into the heart of chaos, and I don't know what the Watchers were trying to pull with this revolution crap, and part of me wondered if they had planned it at all. They certainly riled up the public, but that's easy. Controlling them is much harder, and if they lost control,
and with the security of the NCA taken away, and the various grudges already in play?
The situation seems dire,
Platinum Haze said. We had made good time, and by the time the sun was setting, we were nearing the ruined buildings of the aptly named Parasite Mound.
We truly are unsure on how to resolve these problems that have been presented to us, if we are even attempting to.
I don't know, I said with a sigh. The city needs order.
The city needs a good smack,
Serenity exclaimed from her position sitting on my back. Maybe that too, I said. I would rub my temple in annoyance, but it was difficult to do that and walk at the same time.
Still,
Hayes said, her voice sounding somewhat distant as she stared off into the horizon.
Someone will need to step up and provide a balm to the city's ails. We cannot fault these ponies for trying to overthrow the Order of Dais, oppressive and chaotic as it is. But they cannot fight all of Dais without destroying it, Someone must step up to unite the city.
Hayes turned her gaze to stare at me.
What?
Someone needs to lead the city,
she said to me again.
You?
That was funny, actually. What was she implying?
You're joking.
You have a memorable figure. You look like a pony who could stand against a hurricane without bowing to the wind. A form that demands respect and admiration.
I look like I took a wrong turn into a blender.
You look...
She took a deep breath.
Like a survivor. Everyone in the wasteland can respect a survivor.
Until they hear me speak. With my raspy voice and idiotic sayings.
Darling.
I think that was the first time she called me that.
We are simply suggesting a possibility. You are uniquely situated to invoke positive change. You understand not only the systematic problems within the Nye's power structure, but also the conspiracies to undermine that structure that caused the problem. You also have met and worked with many powerful leaders across the region. If not you, perhaps you can find someone to lead in your place.
I sighed and looked down at the ground.
Maybe.
I couldn't really fault Hayes for thinking of me in that light, or rather for thinking of anyone in that light. She came from a place of pretty strong central authority, putting it lightly, and I'm sure she meant it only as a positive for me to take up a similar role. But it was just plain stupid. Yes, I knew powerful ponies, but I was a nobody. Worse, a nobody who wasn't even that good at her job. There was no chance anyone would follow me. By then, though, we had made it to Parasite Mound, a lovely little hellhole that today probably looked better than Dais itself did. The entrance that had once been home to an NCA patrol was now suspiciously empty, and when I looked in their old headquarters, I found nothing at all. The NCA stripped everything before abandoning the city. However, as I got further into the town, I saw something strange. Normality. It seemed the radiation that had blanketed the city had died down, as Dragon Slayer claimed it would, and ponies were walking around normally, conducting their business. There was no sign of trouble, or fights, no fires or bullet holes or anything beyond what you'd expect for the type of ruins they wore. It was strange. It seemed the denizens of Parasite Mound didn't care for the revolution, or those that did had already run off through the wall into the city proper. So there was an odd calm surrounding the town. That was until I noticed someone in a dress in the corner of my eye. There was no mistaking the flashy uniform of a finisher, and a townie was speaking to her with some heat and pointing to us. That wasn't good. It was about a minute later as we were turning a corner that I noticed all the townies seemed to have vanished from around me, and there was a stereo on the ground by the side of the road. Here we go, I said, and, as if on cue, music started to blare.
What have we here?
A voice said from the rooftops. I looked up to see two ponies standing on roofs either side of us. I had expected finisher dresses, but I was wrong. The two ponies were decked out in power armor. There was no mistaking it as Enclave style, but it seemed the ponies wearing it were determined to make that hard to tell. The armor was painted in pinks and pale blues, with the backs of dresses glued onto them. The Enclave masks were cleverly painted to give the illusion of eyeshadow and blush on the mask's face. The two powered armored ponies jumped from the roof simultaneously, slamming into the ground but looking unfazed. They walked dramatically up to us as the music played in the background.
Cybernetics, scars,
one said in a really bad fake accent.
See Alicorn in a dress, not fooling anyone,
the other said, her accent seemingly more practiced.
The finishers protect these people here,
the first said, pushing an armored hoof against my chest.
We will have no violence. We want no part in your pretty war, Isaiah, or mercenary. You will find no vac here.
The other did the same to Platinum Hayes.
And we...
One paused and stared at us before laughing.
No way. No way.
Her accent dropped.
Higher gun.
She reached for her mask and pulled it off, revealing a face of the second-in-command finisher, Screenshot. We did business a while ago, and I never expected her to look like that. Screenshot, I gave her my very best convincing smile. Can we speak to Photo Finish?
You would not believe it.
The three of us had made our way three stories up the Photo Finish gallery of Z-Magics to find Photo Finish, if that was her real name, waiting for us. She too was wearing a set of Enclave armor, though hers was dolled up even fancier.
See, flying truck fell from the sky. Crash! And inside are these most marvelous of marvelous armors. Sure, say I had corpses inside, but that was no worry.
You're welcome, I said dryly, remembering the night I had taken out the vertebra clearly. I hadn't really thought of what would happen to it, so this was a surprise.
Can I have one? Serendi asked from my back. Darling, you are much too small. Perhaps when you are older.
Photo Finish walked across the room towards me, putting a cold metal hoof on my cheek.
You, darling, look exhausted. I would offer you another bath, but you seem not to enjoy the last one. I have been trying to keep track of you, but you are a slippery mare.
I am? I hadn't really thought I was.
Apparently so. Still, here you are. Mostly in one piece. What exactly do you want?
That was a good question. What did I want? You create a pace here? I remembered that when I first came to Parasite Mine, Lucky gave me a stern warning about the dangers here, but compared to Dais proper, it was a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
She smiled proudly at the suggestion and walked over to the nearest window to stare dramatically out of it. The finishers needed a steady source of drama to keep functioning.
Though I cannot take all the credit, refugees from the north came down fleeing the enclave and found themselves here. Too poor to enter the city, so they stayed here, wanting to rebuild. We facilitated them and used them to increase our standing. They need food, of course, and water. It was hard to feed them and costly, but a happy populace is a productive one. With hard work together, we built something here. Something that outlasted Dais, it seems.
Could you do it in Dais? She laughed. It was one of those fake mocking laughs.
Ha ha ha. Dais has always spat on us here. It can burn. We will rise. What reason will we have to help save the mess they brought on themselves?
I was so happy she canned the accent, I felt like I needed a translator. Still, I didn't really have a good answer for her. She seemed content to let Dais burn, perhaps out of selfishness or because of a grudge, but I got the feeling that they were excuses to mask over the real fact of the matter. She couldn't help them even if she wanted to. The finishers had limited personnel and limited funds, and from the sounds of it, they nearly bankrupt themselves maintaining order in their own neck of the woods. I was told once that the finishers wanted to civilize the wasteland. Well, there are thousands of people next door waiting for that. It wasn't really true, but it was a good embellishment. She looked back at me before sighing and looking back out her window.
I cannot help, Dais. It is lost. People angry, and rightfully so, but anger is not conducive to peace. I can't provide them a means to let out their anger, and even if this was not the case, the finishers are too small to fix such a large city.
What if... I chewed on my lip as a plan came together. Well, not so much a plan, as plans require details, but an idea. A vague shape in my mind that would one day grow into an idea. It was what I had. What if you had help? She didn't look back at me. What if I could get you something? She turned to look at me again, this time taking a step forward.
Speak already.
All the ponytrons. Even though she was wearing glasses, I could tell that she was going wide-eyed at my proclamation. All of them, in Dais. I could get them, let you control them, under one condition. She laughed again. She did that a lot. It was probably unhealthy.
I'll buy it, darling. If you can give me all the ponytrons in Dais, I'll do whatever you wish.
Don't use them, not until I say so.
Darling, what is the point of having them, then?
I rubbed my temple with my hoof. Just trust me.
I don't.
Well, that just hurt my feelings.
But a promise I only have to keep after you do some insane task is an easy promise to make. So, sure, I hope then you tell me more details of whatever you're thinking. But that still begs the question, what are you doing here now?
Trying to get into the city?
Serenity at some point had wandered off to jump on the nearby bed, but stopped long enough to say that.
I can help with that. I know a tunnel, and with chaos in the city, it will not be hard to make it through unmolested. Is that all?
Info. On the Watchers, the Revolution... Serenity, would you stop that?
Fine.
Everything. I quickly added before she could bring up a complaint. Everyone in Dai spies. You know what's going on there, more than me. She smiled and motioned to a cushion on the ground.
Have a seat, darling. I will get someone to get us tea.
It turned out that the finishers didn't know a lot about the Watchers, because, like with most ponies, they assumed the Watchers were harmless, which was the most clever thing they had managed to do. However, according to Photo Finish, Molly had been captured by the Watchers while investigating their facility and was currently being held by revolutionary forces somewhere in the tunnels. She made it clear to me that if I wanted to find out anything about how the Watchers were run, I'd have to ask her. Though I suppose Serenity knew stuff too, but nothing that really helped me find out what I was looking for. That made my goal perfectly clear. Find Molly, pray she wasn't harmed, and make her give me the information I needed. Or go straight to the Watchers and walk in blind, which I was reluctant to do after how poorly it had served me before. Of course, the idea of going to Molly for help wasn't much better. If I was being honest, it was probably a far worse decision given how much more open she was about trying to kill me, as opposed to the Watchers' stealthy technique. But she was supposedly locked up, so I probably wouldn't get shotgunned, even if she was as stubborn as a mule. Was that racist? Either way, we set off down some tunnels. I really dislike tunnels, considering everything. Yet there I was once again, this time being led by a slightly off-putting mare who kept drinking from a flask whenever she thought we weren't looking. Not that I could judge.
Darling, why do they all have to do the accent? I get it was for show, but come on.
You should have hung up that dress. You look wunderbar, truly, even with the wrinkles, but you could be so much better.
Platinum Hayes lowered her head somewhat. She was still wearing the dress she wore to the NCA base, and I guess it was sort of wrinkled.
We apologize. We had not the time to properly care for it.
Oh, you're that finisher who made us dresses that one time, I said when the realization finally hit me.
Ja, darling.
She kept leading us, not even bothering to look back.
It was not so long ago for you to lose your memory.
Long for me. A lot had happened since then. It felt like a different world. And you know, you all dress so similar.
Ha!
The dark tunnel led to a small door near an impassable pile of rubble.
This is as far as I will go.
She tapped the door a few times.
Dressed like this, I doubt they would look kindly on me. Would you like some advice?
I nodded. I wasn't really sure what I was getting into, but I was sure advice could never hurt. Her accent dropped completely.
Ponies are frightened, angry, and hungry. Large groups of frightened and angry hunger ponies tend not to be the most sociable, nor the most likely to listen to reason, but you shouldn't treat them like the enemy. They are a symptom of a larger problem, and while their actions are their own, you can't take apart the reality that made those actions possible. That's all. A mob is scary and dangerous, but if you hate, you'll never learn.
With another acknowledging nod, I started towards the door, opening it slowly only to be stopped by a hoof on my back. I looked over at the mare, and she looked seriously back at me, her rosy sunglasses falling down her nose so I could see her olive green eyes.
I don't know what you're planning, but if you can help, do it.
She gave me a cheerful smile and pushed the glasses back up over her eyes.
It's all above my pay grade, darling.
She started walking back out the way we came, humming to herself.
Fousey path, you'll be fine.
I like him,
Serenity said from my back as we walked forward into more dingy tunnels. It was dark, but my eye could pierce the blackness, and Serenity and Hayes could cast light besides.
Her,
I corrected Serenity as we made our way through what I think was a long-lost bedroom. At the very least, there was a broken metal bed frame and what must have been the remains of a mattress. I think there was a dresser, though it was blackened with mold and broken down. Shattered remains of a mirror lay strewn around the dresser. Though it took a second for me to realize how covered with dust they were. It was easy to forget that these tunnels were built to save. There was a faint rumbling in the distance as we moved on, weaving between bedrooms and dining rooms, the whole apartment complex by the looks of it. Eventually we realized the rumbling was talking and walking, and a whole heck of a lot of it.
We knew they fled underground. We suppose they must have set up a home of sorts nearby,
Hayes reasoned. No doubt inspired by her orphanage, which had a very similar setup.
When I was here before,
I started and looked around the hallway we were in. The lights were flickering above now, which meant wherever we were, it must have been used recently, but everything else was new to me, or at least I didn't remember it.
Not here, but after the explosion, there were markets and a great amount of chaos.
Then what?
Serenity always asked the tough questions.
We need to find Molly. Not sure how. Ask around, maybe.
That wouldn't really be suspicious at all.
Sneak around? We like sneaking, right?
We are a blue alicorn, and we have been granted the magical gift of invisibility from our mother. we would be remiss not to use this ability whenever we can. And, if we are being honest, we find ponies looking at us unnerving due to how often we remain out of sight.
Hayes said bashfully, or nervously. Those two things really aren't the same, but they seem to get mixed up a lot.
Of course.
Serenity jumped off my back and ran in front of me.
I'm basically a ninja now. Scooterborg is actually pretty jealous, so don't tell her.
I was pretty sure she was close enough to eavesdrop.
So, blend in, then try to find someone who looks important. Stalk them. Pray to Celestia it works?
It was as good a plan as I ever had, though Hayes snorted softly when I mentioned praying to Celestia. Probably was a poor choice of words on my part, considering.
We see nothing dangerously wrong with this plan,
Platinum Hayes said, and Serenity seemed to agree with the way she went marching off, expected us to follow her. We did, of course, because it was just easier than trying to rein her in. It wasn't hard to follow the noise, considering the way it echoed down the halls. I heard once that the poorest of the poor lived in the tunnels under the city, with everyone else living above. That was before the radiation, of course. I also noted that my pitbuck wasn't ticking, though we were close to the surface. But I had to wonder what happened to those ponies when the rest of the city moved in. The tunnels were designed to hold tens of thousands, so did they just slink off to a darker corner, or did they try to blend in? Maybe it was silly to be thinking of them, but someone had to, right? Regardless, we found out where we were going not minutes later. It was a rather small door, but the noises we were hearing were obviously coming from the other side.
Quietly,
I said, opening the door and slinking in. The room was large, much larger than I was expecting, simply massive in scope, even though the ceiling was only a little higher than the rest of the tunnels. The room echoed with noise from the multitudes of ponies crowding into the room, but most of the noise seemed to be coming from a pony on the far end of the hall standing on a small stage. He seemed to be in the middle of a speech.
Strike a final blow against the Mustangs and take the water back.
His gaze fell on me.
Yeah.
He pointed, and with that, the entire room grew quiet and turned towards me. I gulped, looking around, the eyes of 100 ponies boring into me. It was then I realized what I had done. The ponies were dressed in various sorts of armor, from what looked like stolen NCA armor to bits of scrap tied together with string. Many had their faces covered with masks or helmets or painted, and all were carrying some sort of weaponry. Apparently, I had interrupted some sort of war meeting, riot meeting, something I shouldn't have. Really stealthy of me.
Sorry, wrong room. Stop,
the stallion said as I tried to turn to leave. He was wearing basic brown combat armor, and he alone had nothing covering his face, but considering how plain it was, I suppose that wasn't really necessary.
Cyberleg, scarred face, large weaponry.
Glad to see he had working eyes.
You are a Hyzai.
The crowd booed at his proclamation, and I shrank back. I was a strong mare, but fighting such large group wouldn't really work.
It was,
I said, trying to be heard over the din.
I quit.
So a coward besides?
The rather annoying leader said.
While we suffered below the streets, your boss lavished in his precious radiation. He got what was coming to him.
I didn't like the sound of that. I looked over to Platinum Hayes for help.
We mean you no harm. We are simply,
I saw her horn start to glow, no doubt about to turn invisible, but as soon as she did, the entire crowd seemed to shrink back. I saw guns start to come up.
Wait!
A familiar voice pierced through the din. A thin, light blue Pegasus pushed his way through the crowd. He was wearing a jumpsuit and a piece of cloth wrapped around his face.
She's with me,
he said, walking towards me, and I couldn't help but smile.
She's a bit of a huge idiot, so she didn't think when I asked her to meet me here.
Flare, I sighed, moving forward to give him a hug, but stopped myself. It felt too awkward.
It's good to see you again.
He made things less awkward by patting me gently on the back.
You too. We have a lot to catch up on.
He looked back at the stallion on the podium, who shrugged and continued his speech as Flair led me out of the crowded room. It was just like Flair to come back at the best possible moment.
I'm surprised. I left you alone for nearly a week and you still have all your limbs,
he said when the door closed behind us. He kept walking like he knew where he was going, so I kept following.
Unless you have really convincing cybernetics.
It's all me, I said to the back of his head as he led us on.
Uncle Flair,
Serenity said, eventually jumping on his back.
I missed you too.
She gave him a warm hug around the neck, and Flair sort of tilted his head towards it as a way of reciprocating without stopping.
That's me. I got something for you too.
Serenity let out a high-pitched, ooh, that deflated when Flair finished his sentence.
When we get to my room.
She eventually quieted down as Flair hit an intersection and inspected each dark hallway quickly before continuing on.
So, I heard the war has stalled.
He turned back his head so one of his pink eyes was looking at me.
Something about a bridge?
A shame, I said dryly.
A damn shame. It just fell apart. The radio said the NCA was looking into possible culprits. Sounds serious. I hope they catch the pup.
If it wasn't obvious before, it was obvious then that he knew I was involved.
It's just a bridge. Probably saved lives. It was a stupid war.
We stopped at an inconspicuous door etched into a fairly unremarkable hall.
Got someone out, though, like me.
Flair let himself chuckle and let out a wholly inappropriate explosion sound as he opened up the door.
You're good at getting into trouble.
Getting out, too.
The three of us followed Flair into the room. It was a moderately sized apartment with a small dining table, a couch, what was once a TV, and the faint smell of decay.
Are you good at it?
Maybe.
Flair closed the door once we were all settled in before walking over to the couch and collapsing on it, draping a wing over the back of the couch and letting one leg swing freely off it. He tore off the cloth around his face with a sigh and exaggerated gasp for air.
We hate to question your activities, Platinum Hayes said as her eyes scanned the apartment, but you seem to have ingratiated yourself within this group rather quickly.
Flair lifted his head to look up at the large alicorn.
I knew a lot of them once. Spent a few good years on the streets after my fallout with the Enclave. They're a good sort. Don't let the masks and intimidation fool you. Most of our parents are sick teenagers looking for the better life the city promised them. Their leader is a dullard, but what can you do?
He chuckled.
The Enclave, the part I represent anyway. We really need to set about giving the new faction's name to keep track better.
He sort of trailed off and I coughed into my hoof harshly to throw him back on track.
What? Oh, right. They sent me here to spy and see what the other Enclave is doing.
So? I asked.
So what?
I took a seat on the nearest wooden chair, hearing it creak underneath me. Thankfully, it held.
Did you find out anything?
He rolled his eyes and dropped his head back down onto the arm of the couch.
The watchers are behind this, but people don't know. Once the rest of the gang leaders are caught or bite the dust, and they will, the watchers and Enclave will swoop in.
He made a swooping motion with his hoof, in case I wasn't clear.
And neatly solve all the problems. They will take control, then, I don't know.
That ain't so bad, is it?
Serenity said, making all heads in the room snap to her.
I mean, you know.
She gulped before standing up straighter.
Their methods are all messed up and stuff, you know. But if it works, then it's still good, isn't it?
That was a fair point, until Flair interrupted.
Maybe,
he admitted, sitting up out of his slouched position.
But if they're willing to do all this, he pointed up towards the city, to gain power, then what will they do to keep it?
I wasn't really sure that was a fair assessment, but I accepted it because I really wanted to make those fuckers pay for what they did to me. Serenity didn't seem very impressed by the argument and kicked at a table lightly to show her disapproval.
But you can't know that.
Or they'll take more power, I sighed, leaning against the table. The NCA would be weak, or with the Minotaurs. Maybe that's, you know...
We can't know that,
Flair said before Serenity had a chance to rebut, but I could tell that she really wanted to.
It doesn't matter. After everything they've done, like, you know, trying to blow you up, starting wars, and stoking the flames of rebellion...
He got up off the couch and walked towards the kitchen.
Someone needs to be held accountable. Maybe we aren't the hoof of Celestia falling from the heavens to smite the wicked, but if we can deal out justice, well...
He trailed off doing something in the kitchen. Making tea, maybe?
We are uncertain we should,
Platinum Hayes said, standing in the middle of the room like Flair bought a statue but didn't realize how much room it'd take up. That was a tortured simile.
We have no right to demand justice. We may be...
She sighed.
Perhaps our personal perspectives are overtaking reason.
Maybe that's a common problem. I got up from my chair to see what Flair was doing in his little kitchenette. Sure enough, it was tea. So, this is your home? I had thought at first he had just been here since the Enclave sent him on his little spy mission, but he seemed really at home.
Found it years ago. Power worked, so I spent a while cleaning up. when I wasn't sleeping on the streets. Good location, nice amenities, locking doors so people can't jack my shit. He sipped his newly made tea with a delighted sigh. So, what now?
We need to find Molly.
I hadn't really expected to find Flair there, so I wasn't really sure how to explain the plan to him. The psychotic mule who's in charge of the bases and literally tried to kill you half a dozen times? The same one who is currently captured by the very revolutionaries I've spent a week ingraining myself in?
I nodded.
Okay, just making sure.
He sipped his tea.
When do we start?
Don't you want to know more? He gave a shrug as he put his mug down.
Why? It's probably something insane, and it's more fun this way.
That made no sense, but I wasn't about to argue.
I'll show you the way to Hassan.
Flair was cut off by a stern knock on the door, which was annoyingly convenient.
It's unlocked.
The door creaked open, revealing the guy from the stage before. He was still incredibly unremarkable. A brown coat with a dark yellow mane and a brown leather jacket on top of all that combined to give the appearance that he was birthed from the mud that morning. He was leaning against the doorframe lazily with a simple SMG hanging around his neck.
Flair. Glorious leader, Flair replied sarcastically. So your friends are here. Good.
His eyes were sharp, though, and distrusting.
So you worked for House?
He didn't move from his position blocking the door and seemed to do his best to make sure nobody was comfortable except him. Yes. I, too, was good at making people uncomfortable, but he didn't flinch at my mismatched glare.
Explain.
He hired me, I said simply, moving slightly closer. Then I quit. Our goals were not aligned.
Are our goals aligned?
That was a dumbass question. No, I said, resisting the urge to roll my eyes. But they don't contradict. Is that all you wanted? He didn't move from his spot, but his gaze shifted from me to Flair.
The Mustangs fall tonight. They have the key to fresh water our people desperately need. So?
He sighed.
I'm calling in the favor.
Flair looked momentarily shocked before sighing and lowering his head.
After all these years, I thought you forgot.
Flair looked over at me.
The glorious leader here once paid off my debt with some, collectors.
Drug collectors, no doubt.
Out of the goodness of his heart, and apparently the knowledge he would someday lead a revolution to overthrow the corrupt and failing system of governance. You're a doll.
He pushed himself straight.
2 hours will be massed before the doors of Mayhem's casino. Be there. Bring your friends if you want. Maybe our causes will be aligned when she sees the good work we do. If not, then do what you need to do with her and be on your way.
He pushed himself into a standing position and turned around, leaving the door open. There was an awkward silence hanging in the air for a minute before I finally broke it. So, you and him, I didn't need to say anything more.
We did not!
He shouted in exasperation, but I continued to stare.
One time. He wasn't even very good.
I don't know if he was playing up his frustration, but either way it made me smile and reminded me why I liked him. Flair did end up giving Serenity her present, which turned out to be a new gun attachment for Scudaborg, which Serenity spent the next 30 minutes attaching properly before playing with her and Platinum Hayes near the couch where Flair and I talked in the kitchen. So, how's it going? I asked, leaning slightly against his fridge, which to my surprise actually seemed to be functioning.
In general, or...
His voice trailed a little bit as he glanced towards the two playing in what I supposed was his living room.
You know.
Dash, I said. He face-hoofed and sighed.
You're supposed to be all cryptic about it, gosh.
He looked back at the others again before leaning in towards me, his voice lowering.
Listen, I have it covered for now. I mean, dealers aren't hard to find in tough times, and I have enough caps.
I gave him a stern look.
I know. You do recognize the hypocrisy here, right?
Yes.
Then, he added sharply, you know the only recourse is through the Watchers themselves, who you are no doubt aware are out for our blood. Listen, I didn't want to scare any of you, but ever since yesterday I swear someone has been following me. They know who we are and know we're a threat. We can't go there for help, even if we wanted to.
Do you want to? He sighed and stood up straight.
Yes, no, maybe.
He rubbed his forehead.
It's all fucked up. We're fucked up. I know it shouldn't have relapsed, but it was too much to handle, and it's getting worse. Once we're done with all this shit, I can drop it. once the stress is gone. Will it ever be? He raised an eyebrow at me, so I guess I had to talk more. Damn.
We'll kill Clean Cut, destroy the Watchers. What then?
We win?
He shook his head as soon as he heard the answer.
That's bullshit, isn't it?
Someone has to rid the city. Walker is useless. He can't adapt. Maybe his program was faulty. Maybe his brain transfer didn't work properly, but there was something seriously off about him that I couldn't trust.
So what? We'll be the new rulers?
He stood up straight and posed dramatically. I swear his mane was blowing in the wind.
President Flair the Gay and my vice president Missing Limbs.
He said just loud enough that behind him I saw Platinum Haze look over in abject confusion.
We aren't fit to run a vegetable stand, nevertheless a city.
His mane deflated, or maybe it was all my imagination.
And you know it, even without the whole drug abuse thing.
So? Someone has to.
Let the gangs take control, Flair said dismissively.
Those gangs, they would have burned the city if Walkirk wasn't here, and it still led to this revolution.
That and the Watchers pulling levers.
He sighed in defeat, leaning against the counter again.
So we need to find someone not shit at running a city and give them power? As we control them in the background to make sure they don't go full Nightmare Moon, is that the plan?
Maybe, I sighed, just thinking out loud. I do have plans, though. He raised his eyebrow again. I swear he did that way too much for my likings. I'll tell you if they work, or if I finish them. Trust me?
Figuring out you're actually a bomb with legs changed you, he said simply, and all I could do was nod.
My voice cracked. I won't live forever. My eyes fell past Flair to Serenity, who was energetically having Scudaborg attack Platinum Haze's mane.
If I can make the world safer, I won't be around to protect her forever.
I blinked hard to get rid of any tears.
Okay?
I walked past him.
It's time, isn't it?
He nodded, following me, then overtaking me.
All right, he said to the assembled group. I have to go blow up a door, then we'll split off and find Molly for whatever messed up reason. I'm sure it won't end up terribly or anything.
With that, he left his house and led us outside. The sun was just barely peeking over the horizon when we got outside. Due to the walls and buildings, I couldn't actually see the sun, but it was easy to see the way the sky was streaked with orange and the clouds were on fire. It made the empty dais streets glow with an eerie light. Well, I suppose they weren't actually empty, but it did make for a nicer image. In truth, the street around the Mustang's home base was far from empty. The large building brought back memories, and it stood defiant, even choosing to keep all the lights on in the entire building. The crowd of ponies that were meeting down below were now amassing towards the entrance, stomping all over the fountains where water shows used to play, their guns ready and looks of murder in their eyes. Flair, Serenity, Haze, and I watched some distance away as the leader of the so-called rebellion led his troops towards the door before turning and heading towards us. My eyes fell off him and towards the huge buildings we were supposed to be assaulting. It must have been my imagination, but I swore I saw a glint of something in one of those windows.
Do you have the charges? The brown stallion asked, looking at Flair. Mayhem has always been paranoid, and the entrance to his home has been as impossible to get through as he is stubborn.
Yeah, Flair said, the perpetual grin always on his face.
Though my contacts weren't happy, and I'm still certain that it'd be easier just to blow a wall than... Not again. The stallion looked nonplussed at the suggestion. It's symbolic. With House gone and Molly in our pens, this is the final strike to show who truly owns the city.
He turned a point towards the entrance to the building, which even at this distance I could see was like a massive wall of metal.
Get it set now.
I took a surprised step back and the others followed suit, except for the brown stallion who stood stock still for a good few seconds before toppling over, blood pooling on the ground below him. Shit. His voice was a harsh whisper.
Help them. Help.
I walked past him as Haze's horns started to glow. More cracks echoed out, but no more aimed at us. The mob of ponies started screaming, and shots were fired back at the windows. This wasn't going to do. We weren't here to fight their war. Haze, shield! Serenity, help him! I pointed at the brown stallion, and the pink filly ran over to do what she could. Flair, fly over there and set up the charges. The ponies are panicking. I'll try to get them to back away from the door. With a nod, Flair flew over, and I charged towards the crowd that seemed to be rushing at the door. Worse when the crowds were shoving and shooting, and more so when others were shooting back. Still, I pressed into the teeming mass of the crowd, shoving my way past everyone. Some of them looked shocked as I pushed them aside, but I was already gone. The crowd pushed back, but I was stronger, and as more shots cracked, the crowd seemed to disperse more, but not enough. I eventually pushed my way to the metal behemoth of the door to see Flair flying along with his bombs, and to see 20-odd ponies pointlessly pushing at the door, some even shooting at it as if ricochet was something that could never hurt them. "Back off!" I shouted, my voice getting lost in the din. "Move!" I grabbed one stallion near the door and pushed him so hard he slid across the ground, his armor scraping loudly. That was enough for the rest of the ponies looking at the door to stop and look at me.
"They're shooting!"
a mare screamed.
"We need to get in and stop them!"
a stallion agreed.
"Then move!"
I pointed at Flair, who was hovering above, planting plastic-looking stuff all over the hinges of the large metal door.
"It'll break the door! What do you think it'll do to you?"
They stared at me for a bit longer.
"Move!"
They finally left the door, pushing back against the crowd that was trying to push forward. It wasn't much, but it was enough to give them room not to die. I wasn't even sure why I cared about these ponies. They were throwing themselves into a war, after all. But if they were so determined to die, it might as well be in a less embarrassing way.
"Flair,"
I said, moving with the crowd to get away from the door.
"When ready."
It didn't take long for Flair to fly to me and set the whole thing off. It felt like a punch to the chest, and between the brightness and the smoke, it blinded me for a good 20 seconds. When I opened my eyes, I could see again the door was still there, however, though blackened and dented.
"Flair?"
I asked, but he didn't even seem to hear me. Instead, he watched with a smile. With a creak and a groan, the door shook before toppling over with a resounding thud, and a cheer went up behind us. The cheer turned into gunfire when on the other side of the door was more than a dozen ponies, guns pointed at us.
"Shit!"
I dove for Flair and dropped him to the ground as behind us ponies charged past us to fight and die. It didn't take long for the air to smell of blood and gunpowder.
"Come on!"
I dragged him to his hooves and pushed back against the cheering crowd.
"No tactics at all," Flair muttered beside me as we pushed through. "Stepped on my wing, those jerks."
Not really having time to worry about that sort of thing, I kept pushing as bullets whizzed past me. The only direction I could go was forward, so when I reached one of the fountains with ponies still on top of it, firing at the building, I climbed up. Aside from the few ponies still up there shooting, the path was finally clear, and in the distance I could see Hayes' shield alone in the city streets. I was, however, just in time to be blasted in the face with something wet. The sudden burst of water shooting into the air knocked me off my hooves, and when I scrambled to get back up, I saw everyone else on the platform was having similar trouble. Then I saw one of the ponies' heads snap back with a spray that turned the water pink.
Shit!
I grabbed Flair and tossed him on my back, then started to push through the dancing wall of water, ignoring it, the colorful lights, and the sudden blaring of music that accompanied it. I burst out of the other side of the fountain and towards the purple bubble that was Hayes' shield. Once we got there, Flair jumped off my back, and the two of us turned towards the chaos of the street. It was a bit of a surreal sight to see the water dance to music and lights as gunfire and explosions echoed through the night. If you ignored the fighting and focused on the water, it all seemed like it was part of the show.
"How is he?"
I asked as Platinum Hayes lowered the shield, revealing the blood-stained brown pony. His chest seemed to be moving slightly, but in short, uneven bursts.
"Not good," Serenity said and looked up at me. "I mean, alive, but, you know, he needs to see like a real doctor or something."
Her hooves were stained bloody, and her face was twisted into a frown.
"You did everything you could," I said, patting her on the head, "but we can't wait here."
"We're just going to leave him?"
Flair asked, his voice tinged with shock.
"We can do no more for him, but perhaps we should inform those he is closest to and let them deal with him,"
Platinum Hayes said, looking towards the den.
"Whatever you do," I said harshly, "do it quickly."
I turned back towards the chaos.
"They're up there, so Molly should be easy to get to."
You might be surprised to know that the prison of the revolutionaries was in some celestial forsaken tunnel near the bottom of the tunnels where there was bare rock for a floor instead of, well, floor. The last time we had traveled that far was unpleasant to say the least, so I was wary as we walked silently through the darkened caverns. We passed a few guards with flashlights and the like, but those were easily avoided, and flares soon led us into the heart of the complex. A small, empty room with a mule sitting in it, chained by all four hooves.
Like moths to a flame.
The mule did not look up as we entered the room. The room was guarded, of course, but I simply broke down the wall of the room next door while Serenity cast her silence spell, which worked like a charm.
You do not know how to stay away.
The mule's mane was in disarray, and her coat was stained and dirty. A single candle was lit in the room, making shadows dance across her face. Molly? I walked towards her close enough I could see for sure who it was.
You're looking good.
Ah.
Her eyes were downcast, but she had a wicked smile plastered on her face.
How they have been waiting to tear me down. These ponies never liked me. Something about my ears being too long. Also how horrible a person I am. But I remained. Then explosions and war, so I got curious as a cat.
She finally looked up at me, her eyes harsh and unafraid.
I could trust nobody else, so I went to see what the watchers were up to, and I found out.
I licked my lips as she started talking and motioned for Serenity to stay nearby to continue to make us soundproof and for Flare and Hayes to keep watch to make sure we were uninterrupted. Molly's eyes lingered on Hayes as she left.
Lovely mare you have there. I'm sorry about breaking up your date, but it was a matter of principle. You are my enemy, and eating at my casino. No hard feelings?
I towered above her, moving closer to intimidate.
You tried to have me killed multiple times. Fuck your apologies. What did you find?
She was as unafraid as ever. Maybe she was already expecting to die, in which case, what could I scare her with?
A mega spell chamber.
What? What? I said.
I looked over at Serenity, and she seemed as confused as me.
You mean in the mountain?
Hidden under dice. Look new, fancy. A spider's brand new web to trap those unsuspecting. The watchers are making bombs.
She grinned viciously.
Made of ponies.
I guess she really couldn't have known I already knew that, but it was still amusing to see the confusion on her face when I ignored that part.
I should have figured. A mega spell chamber here, easier than dragging ponies to the mountain.
You knew?
She seemed annoyed that I ruined her secret.
Nobody else would believe me. Those watchers are mad, and those revolutionaries are playing right into their hooves. They'll be swallowed up before they realize.
Can you show me where it is?
You wish to destroy it?
Well, duh.
Serenity spoke up with a roll of her eyes.
What else?
Then what?
Ponies really need to stop asking me that question. Mules, too. The watchers. Molly struggled against her chains, making them jingle slightly.
Then what?
We exchanged glares.
The city is broken. Dice is dead. It was a dream, a good dream, but it's no more. And perhaps it never should have been. But the old dog can learn new tricks, if we can tame it.
What? You think I'll give you any sort of power?
She laughed at the idea as much as I did. Good to see we are on the same page.
No, but I want to help. We've had our differences, sure, but we can look past that. I can reorganize the bases, and with them, you'd have a force to help stabilize the city, assuming you even defeat the Watchers.
I scowled at her.
Then what? You betray me? Why should I trust you?
Because.
She tugged at the chain some more in annoyance before looking back up at me.
Who else? My people are loyal and strong. House is dead, I hear, and selfish and isolated besides. You broke up with him. He won't have you back. Mayhem is a violent fool. Granted, Dynamite has been dead for a while if my spies are right, which they usually are. The Enclave is fractured, one side supporting the Watchers, the other side too weak to help. The Steel Rangers care for Dice about as far as they can throw it. The NCA has cut its losses with Dice, and seem content to let the fires burn the city, then pick the carcass like vultures. Who then will build your city? Who then will protect it?
You are a predictable pony at times. Her eyes fell to Serenity, who was standing awkwardly by, her horn covered by her pink magic.
You want a city for your daughter? You need me.
I spat on the ground at her hooves.
Fine.
Her head lowered and once again became shrouded in shadows.
Save the city by yourself, then watch it turn to dust in your hooves. You got your information. Go and let me die in peace.
There was a good minute where no pony spoke. We just stared at each other in awkward silence.
What do you want? I eventually asked. You know, in general.
Peace, freedom, respect.
She flicked her mane out of her face.
I'll rule with an iron hoof because that's all these people will allow. Show weakness and be killed. More so when I am so unlike them. I have no kin, and my body won't ever allow me to. But I still love this city. When I was younger, I wanted power, but that was foolish. All I want now is for the city to be free of these petty wars. I sought to take out Mustang and take his power, not because of greed. Well, not entirely because of greed, but because of the knowledge that once I threatened the balance of power, I could finally end this charade of peace.
Her face lowered and she sighed.
But I fed into it, didn't I? The fear and paranoia instilled led to all this. But I have a chance to fix it. Free me from my shackles and I'll give you my loyalty, my people. You want a free and secure city, so our goals are aligned.
She kept talking and talking. I was tired of it. Tired of her words, the way she spoke of them, everything. I rose my hooves into the air and brought them down with a resounding crack. The chains around her hooves broke easily to me. She blinked up at me as I went about breaking the others as well. When my work was finished, I looked down at her, dirty thing that she was. You'll show me the chamber, then you'll return to your hotel, then leave the city, go to the finishers and wait for my instructions. She slowly stood up and stretched out her legs before giving me an odd smile.
You'll never regret this.
I already do. This was going to go poorly. I could already tell. I guess there was always the option of killing her later. Just then, Flare and Platinum Haze stormed back into the room from the hole I made.
We are afraid there is a slight.
Guys are coming, Flare interrupted Haze, pointing towards the hallway, bringing food when they saw us.
They weren't the best warning system as the door suddenly creaked open.
Fucking.
I pushed past the two of them and let out a gout of flame from my flamethrower, igniting the ground in front of the door and bathing the room in a red glow. Behind the wall of flames, the guards shouted and backed off, but I was fairly sure I managed to miss them and block their path. Through the crackling fire, I swore I heard one of them yell something about us having the prisoner and to sound an alarm.
Moth to a flame was an analogy,
Molly explained as she dug through a box that was off to the side of the room.
I didn't expect you to take it seriously.
She stood up, her black hat back on her head.
There, now we can leave.
How? The way we came will be swarming. Our going invisible trick isn't going to work, Flare pointed out.
We are the worst ninjas,
Serenity said with a sigh, staring at the flames.
Flare.
I pointed at the wall on the other side of the room from where we had entered.
Door.
He happily obliged, and a few well-timed explosions later, we had a brand new door. One I didn't really have time to appreciate as we rushed out and back into the tunnels. We managed to escape the Revolutionary Guards, and to be honest, it wasn't that difficult. They were well-meaning, but not really well-trained. The only problem was the escape route we took was circuitous. Yes, I know what that word is, and I even know what it means. And in the tunnels, actually finding your way was difficult even if it was an area you were familiar with, which we weren't. So an hour later, we were clambering through barely lit tunnels. The only sounds were our hooves on the metal grating below. Eventually, Platinum Haze spoke up, looking over at our dirty mule companion.
We are surprised you have agreed to assist us, considering you did attempt to murder us last time we met.
No hard feelings, Molly said, adjusting her hat somewhat. Though I must say your disguise was not the best. I guess there's no getting around your height.
Platinum Haze blushed slightly and looked away.
We expected some might notice, though your attack forced us to reveal our wings, which was unpleasant.
Well, sorry, Molly said reluctantly.
Are we really just forgiving her?
I looked back to see Flare scowling at the mare.
She did try to kill us, and you, and now she's on our side, I mean really.
You got a problem, bud?
She replied with an incredibly unhelpful sneer, turning to face him.
I run an organization that employs more people than you could count. What do you bring to the table?
Loyalty, explosions, a history of not trying to murder the people I'm working with, my good looks.
Your Enclave, she snorted.
Loyalty is not your kind strong suit. Murder is, though.
My kind? Coming from a mule that's rich.
As soon as Flair stopped talking, I could feel a tension in the air. So much I put myself between the two of them before they started making out or killing each other.
Stop it. Pretend to like each other. They never talk once we get out.
There, that was my get-over-it speech. Of course, it didn't work, but it was worth a shot.
You can't honestly trust her. Flair looked flabbergasted. I mean, after every...
I don't. But she deserves a second chance, and if she tries to betray us, I'll just kill her.
Way to make me feel like part of the proceedings, boss.
Molly said in a tone that implied the idea of me killing her was amusing. I was about to produce an amazing rebuttal when the sounds of cocking guns interrupted me. We had been so busy arguing we didn't notice the wall beside us moving. Well, Serenity had, as I just noticed she was frantically tugging on my armor. On the other side of the door was a sterile white room with a large red pony with a metal leg surrounded by guards. It was then I realized where I was, right beside the moon's secret entrance into the Dice Tunnels.
What a surprise!
Mayhem grinned, tapping his cybernetic leg on the ground.
Here to finish the job?
His mane looked wild and unkempt, and he had bags under his eyes that suggested he hadn't been sleeping. His hotel going up in flames might have been part of that.
Here to destroy the Mustangs? You started this ever since you killed Roy.
You always were one to beg at the master's table.
Molly stepped forward, and despite her recent captivity and filthy form, she seemed more in charge than Mayhem and his legion of guards.
You are always just a pup. You bark and you bark and you bark, but when the big dogs come, you hide with your tail between your legs. Roy was a paranoid fool, but he could control people, charm them, keep them loyal. You never could.
Mayhem growled and stomped his metal hoof on the ground.
Come to kill me? Mock me to my face? You're probably working with those riders. Bring peace through flames. They wouldn't listen. They think I'd just give clean water away? Give away right away? Fuck them.
Kill you? You're irrelevant. Always have been.
Molly seemed pleasantly amused by this distraction, but gleefully stepped aside out of Mayhem's way.
Leave. Go cow with your tail between your legs to your Minotaur masters.
No, you're here to kill me.
Mayhem all but charged for two steps, but stopped himself just short. But it was frightening enough for all of us to get our weapons out, including Serenity, who was floating her weapon in her magic.
Gah!
He grabbed at where his cybernetic limb connected to his knee.
It burns!
Burns.
Shit. Mayhem!
I grabbed him by the shoulder with my own cybernetic limb.
Your limb? Where'd you say you got it?
Just hearing that made it click in everyone's head.
What? He is one of them?
Molly said, taking a cautionary step back.
We must give him assistance. Whatever crimes he has done, he does not deserve that.
Hayes said sagely.
Fuck that shit. Leave him to his whinging. We need out.
Flair didn't seem amused. Serenity, for her part, just looked shocked and quickly jumped onto my back, expecting a quick exit.
What are you?
Mayhem looked at our shocked faces and took a step back, jerking himself from my grasp.
Cerberus, they had me sedated and brought me to their secret. Why are you all looking at me like that?
He took a few more steps back.
What? Tell me. You're a mega spell.
I took two steps toward him, basically pushing my way into his pure white office. I used to torture people there on his behalf. It seemed like a century ago.
Cerberus put a balefire bomb inside you. I can get you help, but you have to trust me.
Trust you? Fuck you. This is some trick to kill me. That's why you're here. They took my casino. Now you're after me. Get back.
He was stepping back so fast he tripped over the cushion he normally sat on and smacked his head hard against the edge of the desk.
Shit.
I ran forward to help him, to make sure he wasn't hurt.
Calm down and trust me.
He opened his eyes, and they were glowing green.
Me.
Barnes. Barnes.
His voice sounded like static, and the glow in his eyes flashed on and off.
I need help.
I looked up and scanned his guards quickly, then I saw her. A smirking mare with a remote control in her hoof, just like the one Dragon Slayer had. Almost effortlessly, I grabbed the desk in front of me and tossed it across the room, letting it smack into the mare with a sickening crunch.
Run!
The guards panicked and ran, their loyalty to their dying boss apparently lost. I moved to follow them through the tunnels when Flair grabbed my shoulder.
Upstairs!
he yelled, grabbing the attention of everyone in my party.
The blast might destroy the tunnels. The firestorm will burn us. We can't escape that way. We leave the building or we die.
I didn't know enough about explosions to really question, but when I saw Molly booking it down the pure white hallway, I followed suit with Platinum Haze and Flare not far behind.
We slid through the elevator door and it closed behind us while Molly frantically pressed the ground floor button.
Come on, come on.
Mama, is this the kind of music they listened to 200 years ago?
I don't know, maybe.
Well, you know, if they did, I'm kind of glad the world ended.
It was, of course, an elevator, so it moved agonizingly slowly upwards. What was worse was that there was barely enough room for any of us to stand comfortably, never mind pace and panic. Luckily, Flair was there to lighten the mood.
If anyone wants to piss themselves in fear, I don't think any of us would judge you for it.
Did I say lighten the mood? I meant make me want to strangle him. Eventually, the door started to slide open, but I didn't have the patience for it, so I kicked it down and started booking towards the exit. It was all very familiar, except on fire. The building was thoroughly looted, with only stragglers standing by to pick the remains of the corpse. I yelled at them to leave, but they wouldn't listen, just stared at me dumbfounded. I couldn't stop for them, not with Serenity on my back. I leapt over corpses of Mustangs and revolutionaries alike as I moved towards the entrance. I was a bulldozer. At least one pony was in my way as I charged through the main casino floor, but I pushed her aside and knocked over the slot machine she was looting. The light wasn't far then. I could see the burned-out rubble of the door. Close. I jumped through the hole in the wall and landed on the metal door, my hooves clanging loudly against it. I looked back briefly to make sure my friends were still following, also Molly. When I saw that they were, I continued on charging, not even bothering to disrupt my course as the water fountain was before me, loudly blaring music oblivious to the death, destruction, and impending doom. I leapt through the water, took a dozen more steps, and turned to look at the building as everyone filed in beside me. It seemed so peaceful, ignoring the corpses and just looking at the dancing and music. It was nice. Almost. The ground shook, the music stopped, the water faded, and the light. It burst forth from the building from every door and window with a blinding green light. It felt like forever as I stood there covering my eyes, but eventually the sound stopped and all there was the gentle ticking of my pit book. I opened my eyes. The building was listing heavily, smoke green and black. The bottom floor looked to be a ruin, and the entire building was cracked. It looked like any other ruin, not the majestic building I first saw when I entered the city. But it was here, burning and smoking, while we were alive. We got out. The building started to fall. The front of the building crumbled in slow motion, and with a great cacophony, the building listed harder and faster. By the time we realized what was happening, everything had turned black. I awoke in rubble. With a groan, I started to move and push. Everything hurt, and the air smelled of smoke and blood. Whatever was on top of me was heavy, and my bones were sore, but I pushed against it with all my might. My muscles ached, and I felt myself let out a wordless scream. Slowly, the piece that was on me started to budge, and with it, light started to filter in. It burned, so I closed my eyes and kept pushing. Slowly, it moved. I got myself to a standing position as I pushed against it. I realized in that moment that the piece of rubble in question was a wall. It wasn't my imagination then. The moon. With another voiceless scream, I pushed the wall aside and it crashed away from me. I looked around, trying to understand what happened. I was standing in a crater of rubble, with just a final layer of rubble covering the ground. Platinum Haze's shield, I realized, but it must not have lasted. Platinum! Shit! I dove back down, digging through the ground. I was safe, but I was also harder to kill than a hellhound in power armor. But the others... I found Serenity first. I didn't realize it happened. But I must have curled around her to protect her. And she was still awake, sobbing loudly.
I started to pet her mane. I'm here. We're safe.
She started to mumble something through her tears, but I just shushed her.
It's fine. We're safe. We'll... Don't worry. Just rest. It's safe.
She started to calm down, but was still sobbing. I wanted to spend a lot longer comforting her, but I had to find the others. Platinum Haze was easy to find, too, given how large she was. I took off the bits of rubble that had fallen through the wall that covered us to find her unconscious, but mostly unharmed, though her dress was ripped and torn, and her injured wing was twisted in a way that didn't look natural. I went to look for the others, but as I did, Molly sat up behind me.
Ugh.
She looked around at the rubble.
Wow, I never liked the building, but...
I rolled my eyes and kept searching as Molly frantically looked for her hat. Eventually, I found blue feathers sticking out of rubble. I reached down and grabbed the feathers and pulled, trying to dislodge Flare. Instead, my head snapped back easily. In my mouth was a wing, dripping blood. My brain took a minute to realize what had happened when I saw the rest of Flare a few feet away. Bits of flesh and bones sticking out of his back and bleeding profusely where the rest of his wing should have been.
Level up. Skill note. Speech 95. Survival 95. New perk, Bloody Mess. With the Bloody Mess perk, characters and creatures you kill will often explode into a red, gut-ridden, eyeball-strewn paste. Fun. Oh, and you'll do 5% more damage with all weapons. Increases the chance of dismemberment.